big word to myself, big word to myself, big word to myself, big word to myself.
Greetings, you've entered into the Paracosmos, where anything is possible and everything is probable. I'm Lacey, Katie's realistic reactions to everything happening around her.
And I'm Leah. I want to be Shang-Chi's Jordans that he wears while he rides a dragon.
And today we are once again accompanied by a special guest, Shannon from Twin Talk.
Hell yeah.
That's all you say.
I want to be the ground that Shang-Chi steps on.
Oh. Today's episode, not meant for kids, I guess.
And on that note, we'll see you next time.
Let's just put it that way. And on that note, we're actually ending the whole episode right here. That's all you needed to hear.
That's the review. I would love for Simu to step on me.
Oh my gosh. Anyway. For those of you who have not listened to us before, obviously this episode is going to be full, chock full, I mean to the brim with spoilers. So please, if you haven't seen the movie and you care about spoilers, don't listen to this. But if you don't care about spoilers or you've seen the movie, go ahead and listen to this. It'll be great.
Oh yeah, guys. This movie literally just came out on Thursday, September 3rd, I think. I think the 4th was its official, like, worldwide release date. I don't really remember. But I saw it very, very opening night, at the first showing available. So yeah, full spoilers. We're going all the way to the end credit scene on this.
Yes. Start to finish. Yep. From what I can remember, because seeing a movie once really doesn't usually, stick too well, but I'm going to talk about what I can remember.
Yeah, this movie was exceptionally well done. Like, yes. on its own, it could stand outside of having a Marvel fanfare at the beginning of it and just have been Shang-Chi. Like, its own separate everything. You don't even need Marvel anymore. Like, just leave. Yeah, really. Like, Simu Liu could just leave and go to, like, do whatever, and he's got everyone for life now. One and done.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon's like, anywhere he goes.
Anywhere. I've loved him since Kim's Convenience.
I had never seen anything he was in before until they announced that this movie was coming out. And then he started, like, heavily promoting it before it was even, like, filmed all the way. And I was like, the dedication. I love this man and I'm going to watch this opening weekend just for him. So
I want to I was just going to say, I want to start out because you know how I am. I always look into the comics, even if I hadn't like read them, I still want to know about them. And I want to know like the original story and how it really went down. So there's a few differences I want to point out and I want to get your guys' opinion on these differences. So an interesting thing I thought was different, because this definitely would take a chunk out of the movie, is that his mom was not what they're in China, right? In the beginning?
Yeah, it's a section of China, if I remember correctly.
Well, so they were in Asia. We can even say that. Because fun fact, in the comics, his mom is a white American woman.
What?
Who was chosen by his father for her great genetics.
What?
Yep.
No.
I was like, that's really weird.
I love the beautiful, like, Sean pointed her out, and I was like, as soon as she disappeared, I was like, no, where's the beautiful forest goddess? Come back.
I absolutely agree. She, what they did in the movie with this, way better. Way better.
Yeah, I think that this definitely, that plot line of, like, his mother being also some type of mystical martial arts forest fucking woodland nymph thing played a lot easier into it, other than some creepy ass, well, this white lady has really good genetics, bone structure.
Yeah, the comic book Mommy. Made it seem, oh my god, this really is that type of episode. The comic books Mommy? Just made it seem very like, how do I say this? Like, he was like purposely like like chose a woman to like have the perfect kids, but like in the movie that's not what it was. Like he truly like gave up on his warrior life and settled down. Like he was happy to be a father and he was happy to be a husband. So I liked that way better.
Yeah, that felt a little like how do I want to say it? Like it's like was like more of a full circle story.
Yeah, they humanized him.
Yeah.
They didn't make him just some pure villain. Like he had intention and motivation behind what he was doing, so it was a believable villain, not just a I'm a bad guy. I like that.
Yeah, and like in this movie they still had like a weird time of setting him up. Like from the beginning of the movie it starts out with him Shang-Chi's dad being Wenwu, I think is his name in the movie, being a bad guy. Like he's got the 10 rings and he wants power, so he just keeps doing bad shit to get more power. And then he meets a wonderful lady nymph fucking woodland goddess. And I can't remember what her name was in the movie either.
Oh, I can't remember her name at all right now.
I know that they said her name a couple of times, but I also just didn't retain it. I don't know. That felt more confusing a little bit, like because he goes through this like weird arc throughout the film of like he wanted more power, so he killed a bunch of people and he started a bunch of wars and whatever, and then he gets married, has kids, settles down, gives it up, loves his kids, like legitimately loved his kids and loved his wife and stuff, and now he's kind of an okay guy, like until she dies, and then he is not a very okay guy, but not really a bad guy either. He's just an absent dad that went straight back to what he always knew in his grief. So did you think that he was like a villain or not?
I mean, definitely a villain.
Yeah. They definitely like marketed him to be a villain, but there were several points in the movie where I was like, well, I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like, she died because people from his past came and, like, caught up with him, and he wasn't there anymore to be scary, so they legitimately just fucking killed her. And, like, I don't know. He kind of has a point.
I mean, he's the Mandarin. He's a super bad guy.
I mean, yeah, like, he was the inspiration of the Mandarin. You know, he wasn't the Mandarin. And he says it in the movie, too. Mandarin is the orange. They like appropriated his brand and his dynasty and turned it into a man in a wig with an orange. I love that. I loved the way that they like retconned that from Iron Man 3 with the Mandarin, because everybody hated it when it came out. They were like, seriously, that's what you're going to do with this right now? And they were just like, oh, just kidding.
Actually, guys,
just kidding.
I loved that. But yeah. So, like, I see that he was a bad guy, but I also don't think he was 100% necessarily in the wrong for the way that he reacted to her death. Because he was just a sad 1,000-year-old guy who was like, ah, shit, what do I do now?
I think they gave him good reason, but not a good excuse, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, he had, good reason for why he did what he did after she died, but no good reason for why he did what he did before he met her, you know?
Right.
Like, bad guy.
Shannon, what were you going to say? Because you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I really like this, like, thing that they're doing now. Like, how they did it with Wanda when Monica was like, I don't blame her. If I had her power, I would do the same thing. Like, I don't really blame him for that because he just wanted her back. So, I don't know. Maybe I'd kill a bunch of people.
Yeah, they're going through and they're giving, like, a lot of these villains, you know, like, they made Wanda out to be a villain in WandaVision, and it was more so that she was just lost in grief and didn't know how to handle that, and so having that ability, she just reacted, you know, without thought, and it kind of felt the same way in this movie, too, like, he was just reacting, and he had all this power, so he was just doing what he knew to do, you know, and then that's why he attacks her village and stuff, is he thought she was calling to him and he loved her so much that he was willing to just believe that that was happening, even though logically everybody else was like, this makes no goddamn sense, stop it. Like, it's not her, and you know, if you would stop for one second and think, you would know that that's not her, and he was like,
No, it's her.
I'm driving these damn cars through the forest and you can't stop me. Also, why was that forest floor so smooth?
Right?
Everybody was driving very, very easily.
It's magical, okay?
That's all I could think about when they were doing that was like, where are the bumps? Magic You're driving forest. A little hybrid car.
Magic forest!
I mean, yeah, legitimately magic forest. But okay, yeah, I loved it.
Another fact. So in the comics, like I said, his dad is pretty much straight up a villain. And he is trained, I kid you not, from infancy to be a warrior in martial arts. So from infancy, he's trained. So his father straight up like started training him to be a killer right off the bat. That's what he was born for. Whereas in the movie, it happened because, like you said, he reverted back to his old ways and was training his son to join him in vengeance. So what do you guys like better?
I think that if you're going for what they want you to believe in the movie of like Shang-Chi is the greatest person ever in martial arts, like he is the top of the top, nobody could ever beat him, that's why he's got the 10 rings or whatever, and he is like one of the most mystical powerful beings out there, then you have to do it from infancy. Like that makes the most sense. So I don't know how they would have done that in the movie, though, because like he wouldn't have been able to like leave all that and then just go to California and chill with Katie and like park cars all day long. You know, so I don't know. What do you think, Shannon?
No, I agree. I mean, I feel like they showed a good amount of him training as a young child.
Because he was 7 in the movie when they started doing his training.
Yeah.
Like they made a point of like, yeah, you know, like smack him with a stick, and they made a point to like let you know he was 7 years old when his training started, and he's like how old by the time he goes back to, yeah, so from 7 to 14 he was trained, and then at 14 he left.
14.
So that's not enough time, unless like in the years, because Katie says she's known him for half of his life, So they've got to be, like, what, almost 30 in this movie? Mm-hmm. And he's, like, flipping around buses and stuff. And, like, not once does he go, my knee. Like, so is he just, like,
my knee.
Is he doing parkour and, like, hardcore training every day just on his own in his, like, garage apartment? Or is he just supposed to, by destiny, always be the very best at this and doesn't need to continuously train? Because that's not, 7 to 14 is not a long time to train martial arts and like remember it the way that he does on the bus.
Yeah, that was, I agree, that was a little unrealistic.
Because I'm like, I don't know, I feel like they're gonna incorporate something where it's because of how easily he took ownership of the rings and stuff, that like he was just destined for this, and like because of who his mom was in the Marvel universe now, he's got that power in him just already. So it really doesn't matter how often he trains. He's just going to know how to do this stuff. And that's fine too. Like sometimes we don't need a big heavy background on some things. Or I don't know, maybe we do. I don't know. You guys aren't agreeing with me, so fuck off.
Okay. So. No. Wow. Damn. Okay. So, all right. Trivia. Little trivia question for you. Because I want to see what you guys think. Was he also known as Master of Kung Fu, or was he known as Brother Hand?
Oh my god, Master of Kung Fu, right?
Okay. What about you, Shannon?
Hot?
She said, I don't know.
Hot?
Yeah, just pick one. Pick one.
Hot
what do you
man.
Think?
Hot?
What? No, Master of Kung Fu or Brother Hand?
Hot Hand.
Trick question, both! He was both!
I was gonna say, doesn't he train with Iron Fist at some point? And then, like, Shang-Chi trains Spider-Man in, like, martial arts, and they create, like, Art of the Spider based off of, like, Iron Fist training. I know a little bit, very little bit about this, okay? You know more than me now.
That's only because I went and read about it all. I was like, let me read and let me gain all this knowledge. So yes, Master of Kung Fu and Brother Hand. He is named both. I hate you. Fooling with you guys.
little tomfoolery to start the podcast.
Little tomfoolery. My my latest thing is that like this is probably the last thing I'll bring up comic book wise. Well, actually two things. One, I posted a picture of it. His original outfit was a full-on onesie.
Yes, it was.
How do we feel about that?
I kind of wish they would have done it in the movie for at least like a training montage, or like they bring it out and like they show that to him and it's like this fucking onesie thing. Because Marvel has been like dabbling a little bit in completely comic accurate costumes. Like, we got that Captain America suit that is chef's kiss. Like, that is straight from the comics. Sam's white, like extra white glow in the dark captain suit. So I kind of wish that they would have done it.
Well, also, if we're going to make Black Widow wear a onesie, you know.
Put the man in a onesie. He can still wear his Jordans.
Yeah. Put the man in the onesie. I agree. Mm-hmm. He should have been wearing that.
He straight up, he saved the day in a pair of Jordans. Like, they didn't come untied or fly off his feet through that water, through that dragon air fight. Like, he can wear a onesie.
Jordans are real. Yeah, I think he should have worn the onesie.
I believe in him.
Okay, my last thing I wanted to bring up is that in the movie, his father is wearing 5 rings on each of his arms. The original, it's actually rings on his fingers. Yeah, it's actual rings.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think is better and why?
I like the arm rings for no particular reason besides that they look cool.
Legit? That's all. Yeah. That's still a valid reason.
Yeah, men should always wear bracelets. Like, Tom Hardy wears, like, 1,000 of them, so he could probably just, like, dance around and give everybody one arm bracelet and, like, be fine. But that man wears a lot of jewelry. I don't know. I think that the arm rings, like, the 10 arm band rings makes a lot more sense than, like, 10 physical rings.
100% agree with you. Like,
and we run into absolutely that problem of like, yeah, we had the Infinity Gauntlet that had the stones on the knuckles. So it's not been that long since the Infinity Saga ended, you know. So if they were to do,
yeah, it would have been too close.
Yeah, it would have been too similar in like visual appearance. And I know that cinematic wise, they want to do something different for each phase of the Marvel Universe. So it makes more sense to do bracelets. So I was cool with it. I didn't care.
Yeah, so I agree. I think there's more fluidness when it's on the arms. I think that a lot of those fight scenes would have been really stupid if he had just had rings on his fingers. Like, we would have lost a lot of the movie.
Yes. Can you imagine, like, when they were, like, when him and his dad were, like, fighting at the gates of hell, I guess is what that was, instead of, like, armbands coming up and, like, the Sonic the Hedgehog rings, like, flying in the air, it was just, like, 10 little tiny rings you can't really see a whole lot.
Yeah, they have to zoom in on them every time they're transferred. Oh, God, that would have sucked. So original comic looks pretty cool, but I think this is the first time I have sat here and said, I'm happy that they took all of these liberties and obviously made it better.
Yeah,
I think the creative team on this film really exceeded themselves on it. Like, they totally took something that, like, we saw with Netflix's Iron Fist, which is like Shang-Chi and Iron Fist are in the same group together, you know, in the comic world, but Iron Fist the show kind of failed a little bit on Netflix, so I like that they took some more liberties with this to make it cinematic. You know, they gave you that big screen experience with it by changing these little things.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, movie-wise, amazing. Like, this is just a really... It's so good. Like, the characters are beyond relatable, honestly. Like, oh yeah, these characters are relatable. These characters are like legit. I was like, I want to be their friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So badly.
Yeah, I really liked the way that they kind of went through and they didn't just go, oh, well, this is a new face, so we're just not going to ever mention anything that happened before. But they straight up had like Shang-Chi and Katie's friends going like, oh, well, now we know that you can just be erased in like a blink of an eye, so we want to live life to all of our potential. And then these two idiots are just like, or we could just steal cars and go karaokeing all the time. So they at least tied it back into Endgame and everything that happened and gave you like all these characters had a sense of purpose, you know?
Well, like, and also, you know, one, I screamed when Wong came out. and two, they had those posters, like when they're doing like some like panning thing, it's like some posters, and one was like Blip Sync, like a workout thing.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we can, did anybody see any Easter eggs in this movie? Because I saw a couple.
I'm really bad at Easter eggs.
Not that I can remember off the top of my head.
The first time I watched things.
So some of them, yeah. So some of these I saw in the trailers for the movie as they were coming out. Because I remember when they showed you the teaser for this movie, I was like, ooh, that looks super, super good. So I've, like, kept up on the trailers and stuff for it. They brought back the Abomination. Yeah. Wong. That is some type of Planet Hulk type deal going on, or at least, you know, Thunderbolts, Dark Avengers, some of the other bullshit that we have screamed about in the last couple weeks. I also, when they were doing the walkthrough to get to that big cage fight with Abomination and Wong, you saw these little rooms with all the other people fighting. And Shang-Chi and Katie were just like, where the hell are we at right now? In one of the rooms, you see one of the people, two people fighting, and one of them is a Black Widow that you saw in the Black Widow movie, who was freed. And then you also see one of the people from Iron Man 3 going through Extremis, which is the fire people, if you guys remember that movie, and they're fighting each other. So they had like subtle little background things like that that were blink and you'll miss them. But I'm a loser and I wouldn't watch this alone for the first time because I kind of wanted to be able to focus on everything by myself. So I picked those up pretty fast. I love that they brought Wong into it, though. Like, he was in it for quite a bit for no reason.
Yeah, I love that. That was really... That was a really good connection. I realized I was far away from my mic, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that they brought in a couple little background things like that just to let you know that, like, these other things did happen in other properties. The same thing with, like, the Mandarin, with when we were explaining like what happened and why Trevor was like pretending to be the Mandarin and stuff, and then they kept him prisoner to like be a court jester, I guess. I don't know. I love that. I loved that Trevor was like actually in the movie for a while. He didn't just like disappear. He was with him till the very end. I was real happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Playing dead.
He just laid down.
I mean, he was acting, and he was acting good.
Yeah. I hope he got to stay in the village with, what was that thing's name, that little creature?
Oh, man.
I don't know, but I loved it.
Oh. Morris.
I think it was Morris. I think it was Morris.
Yeah, Morris. I hope he got to stay there with Morris. Like, he's an honorary member now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they let him, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. So, aside from the end credit scenes, what were your favorite... What was your favorite part of the movie?
I think my favorite part of the movie, excluding the end credit scenes, because that was probably my favorite part of the movie, was when Katie fucking shot the dragon in the neck after like 8 hours of training.
That was pretty sick.
I love that. That was.
I do love Awkwafina though. So.
I loved her in this movie. Like, I don't. I've never seen her in anything else before.
Have you ever listened to her music?
No.
Oh, I really like her music.
Yeah, I knew she did music, but I've never listened to it. I just really loved her in this. Like, she was that down-to-earth, like, center character that, like, really grounded you in reality, but then you still got all of these, like, fantastical things going on around you, and she just has to experience it all because her best friend is involved in it.
Yeah, it was... I agree with that.
Yeah, what was your favorite part?
My favorite was definitely Welcome to the Hotel California. I died every time it came on. I was just like, what a random pick to just pull out like of all music and be like, this is one of our Like when it started playing at the end too, I was singing in the theater like quietly. I was just like, "Welcome to the Hotel California."
I was doing that thing. Yeah, I was doing that thing like you do where you're like a seal out of water and you're like you're clapping your hands and you're laughing, but no noise is coming out. That was me sitting by myself, just like dying.
It was, yeah, that was really good. I thought it was really cool to see. Wait, was this an end credit when his sister takes over? Is that was an end credit, right?
That's an end credit. Yeah, that's let's talk that's about the end credits separately, because okay. We can go theories on what's next with those end credit scenes.
I really liked the fight between him and his dad when they were like when he finally was doing what his mom was doing fight wise, and like he was able to take the rings from his dad and use them against him. I was like, hell yeah, that's what your mom did. that was probably one of my favorite parts.
Yeah,
and yeah, Katie.
For sure.
Oh, Katie pointing out his choice of fake name.
Yes! That's what you went with.
That's what you
Shang-Chi
went with.
Shang-Chi to Sean.
Like,
could change your name to anything, and you changed it to Sean.
From Sean, like, yeah, that was so that had me dying in the theater.
Oh my god. She was that character that just pointed out all of the obvious things that were going on of just like, are you stupid?
Yeah, like, why is this happening? But what about, okay, so Leah, what about you? What was, like, your thing besides the end credits?
Okay, aside from the end credit scene, because we all know which one it is that's our favorite, that bus scene with does this man look like he can fight? And then he just, like, fucking parkours his way through this bus and like cuts it in half and stuff. I loved that because like right out of the gate, like just amazing choreography and stunt training and stuff. But I also like, aside from like scene wise, I loved the choreography throughout the movie. Like it started out with a major fight scene. Anything that you saw in this movie felt very much like your traditional old school kung fu movie.
Yes!
You know, with the running up the walls, the flipping and stuff. But it took away all of like the cheesy acting that you got in those movies and gave you something that was grounded and filled with like heart, you know? And that first fight scene between his mom and dad wasn't even like a fight. It was like they were dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, you know? It was so good.
Yeah, like the way that they moved was so good. And then, and then my last favorite thing about this whole movie was the use of, like, the flashbacks. They never were, like, a hard cut to a flashback or even, like, like how Suicide Squad did it where it was, like, 8 hours before or just, like, hard pull to a flashback. It was organic and that it felt like a comic book. Like, it felt like you turn the page and then it was a flashback scene that they didn't call to, but somehow through the first panel, you realize that's what it is. You know, like you were able to distinguish those two things very easy of this is Shang-Chi when he was a child versus now. So yeah. I love that it felt like a comic book that was done on a big screen without pulling some of the cliche pow and bam and exploding roses behind people and shit like that mixed
or like
with
translated from Bulgarian.
Yeah. Translated from Bulgarian. Yeah, I love that. I love that like they straight up were just like, and we're gonna talk in Mandarin now and you're just gonna read subtitles, bitch.
It was like the first like 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, like they did a lot of back and forth in different languages and stuff, and I was like, okay, you do it. So I love that. I loved the way that the movie flowed.
Yeah, agreed. Really, yeah. Like, when you said that it was like an old kung fu movie, but without the cheesy acting, absolutely. I felt, I literally thought about, I was like, damn, this is like one of those old kung fu movies. Like, I theaters, like, that exact same thought. So when you said that, I was like, yes, absolutely.
Yes, especially when his sister would fight, like, when they were in the cage match or whatever.
Yes!
Zaling, I think, was her name. Anytime she did something, I was like, god damn.
Yeah. Yes. That whole fight was really
good. Yeah, I loved her. I was like, whoo! She's doing it!
Also, Shannon got shirtless Shang-Chi in that scene.
For like 4 seconds.
Yes.
I loved Katie's reaction too. She looks up and he's just shirtless and she's like, okay.
Where's your shirt? And he's like, I don't know. Like, cool. I love that she has a drink too.
Yeah, she made a bunch of money too betting against him.
Yes. Oh,
in her fanny pack. Yeah. So like here's a real question. Is there gonna be a romance between the two of them in the next movie? Because I think there is.
I don't know.
I think there is.
They alluded to it, honestly. I wish there wasn't.
The way that they ended that, like, I'm okay either way, because I think that they alluded to it to see public reaction to it before they decide something, because they could go either way.
I'd rather they don't, actually.
Same. I just want to see two characters be friends.
Yeah, it'd be refreshing just to get that, well, these two characters just love each other without it being fucking weird. Loki. Looking at you guys. But if they did it too, it would also feel really, really organic and like it evolved into that on its own without being forced. Because they could have forced it, because there was one dialogue in here where Katie's grandma was like, when are you two getting married?
Yeah.
And he was like, we're just friends. And then throughout the ending of the movie, it kind of seemed like maybe they realized that there was a little something else there, but without having to do anything about it.
I hope if something happens, it takes a long time.
So either way.
I don't want, like second movie, I don't want it to happen.
Yeah, it'd have to be like at the very, very end of the second movie where they were kind of like just looking at each other or something and then like realized it, you know?
Yeah, just allude to it. Don't even say it.
Yeah, and then like maybe third movie, you kind of get it halfway through the movie or something, and it's not a focus. I hate when they make it the focus point.
Yeah, like that's part of why I don't want it to happen, is because like I don't want that to be like the plot.
Yeah, yeah, because I think all the kung fu master martial arts thing is just enough of a plot for me that they don't need to give me anything else. I could just have this man flipping around on a bus all day long, and I'd sit there and just watch it. I loved it. So far, general reactions to this movie are so good that I like they're going to probably make like 10 of these and I'm going to watch them all. All right. You want to talk about those end credit scenes? Because like,
yes.
Ooh, they were good.
I want to talk about the one where his sister's all of a sudden taking over the empire, because that's sick and I loved it. And I love what she did with the place. She redecorated and it was fantastic.
And she's fucking hooking up satellite TV. I love that, like, she's having this, like, somber moment in her bedroom where it's, like, her parents are both dead now and her brother has gone off to go back to his life and left her in charge of, like, the compound. And she's just, like, looking sad and stuff. And then Razor Fist comes in and is, like, they're ready for you. And then she takes the time to, like, completely change her outfit, put on lipstick, and, you know, go sit down and slouch in her chair. Like...
See, the thing that was confusing to me, maybe I missed something, but I thought that, like, he was like, yeah, she's going back to dismantle the compound. Am I wrong on that?
No, he did say that. He said...
And then she didn't, and then she's taking it over.
Yeah, he said she went back to, disassemble the compound and set everything straight.
Yeah, and then instead she's there
with
just
her dad's things.
Training everybody to be new killers.
Yeah, and I did like that they did a little pan out and it was like a mixed brigade of soldiers that she's training and stuff. And I also thought it was clever the way that they used face masks, because you could tell that this was finished filming during pandemic lockdowns and stuff. So they probably legitimately had to have people in those masks because they just couldn't get the testing and stuff done on time. But yeah, I got the vibes that his sister will go bad.
She's going to be a bad guy for sure.
Next time we see her. Because, like, her whole entire thing, the whole movie was like her dad wouldn't let her train. She had no power and whatever, whatever. And then Shang-Chi just walks off with these 10 rings that are like able to keep you alive for 1,000 years and let you cripple dynasties and take over the world and stuff. And she's just going to be cool with him taking it so he can go back to California and park cars with his friend. Like, no, she's coming after those.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah, I think she wants revenge, honestly.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all if, like, she ends up being a villain, you know, next time they come around.
Which would be a lot of fun.
It would be. It would be a lot of fun because I think that it would be a good match between them because I think she'd be way more ruthless.
Okay, let me just say, I literally jumped out of my chair when I saw fucking Captain Marvel and Hulk. I literally jumped out of my chair.
No, dude, as soon as they're talking to, I guess, the married couple friends or whatever about, like, their adventures for the last 7 days or whatever it was, and then you see that, like, glowy ring, like, the glow start coming, I went, oh! And I, like, spilled my popcorn all over the place and stuff, and I kind of was hoping it was going to be Doctor Strange coming through, but I really, really appreciated that it was Wong.
Yeah. Like, he probably already fucked up the universe and now he needs help.
Right. Like, I think that they're going to use that credit scene to explain why Wong is missing from some of the No Way Home and the Doctor Strange stuff. Like, because Wong was out fucking around with the Ten Rings. I love that. As soon as, like, that portal opened up and he stepped out, I was like, oh my god, what are they doing? And then you see Captain Marvel and the Hulk pop up, Bruce Banner pop up. I was so happy.
I like jumped out of my chair and yelled. I'm pretty sure Sean looked at me like I was a crazy person. But okay, so the reason I called y'all last night for immediate answers, if those fucking rings aren't made out of vibranium, what are they made out of?
Fucking mystical.
Yeah, something way more ancient.
They said that they've never seen it before.
Here's the thing about the rings. In the comic books, each ring has its own ability, and it's the combination of using all of them in, like, a balancing that made him pretty much immortal. So I think that right now they didn't touch on that at all. So I think that that's going to be discovered in another movie, is what each ring is and what they do. Or there's an opportunity for it.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense, especially after, like, the multiverse stuff, because, like, we won't see a Shang-Chi movie again, or maybe even his character again for a while.
Right.
You know, way after Multiverse of Madness, for sure. But it wouldn't surprise me if in that movie they don't pull something from this and mention the Ten Rings. Like, could we use the Ten Rings to fix this problem? Wong says, and then Doctor Strange is like, no. So
yeah, because one of them has to do with time, like the wearer.
Yeah, so they're very similar to the Infinity Stones, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So like that's why I'm like, it. They have room to come back and be mentioned again because they're very powerful.
Yeah, yeah. So my biggest question from this credit scene is, where did Captain Marvel go, and why was she in such a hurry, and why is the Hulk not the Hulk anymore? Why is he just back to being Bruce Banner? Because the last time we saw him, he was Professor Hulk.
Yeah,
so now he's back to just being Bruce Banner. His arm is still messed up because it was like in a sling from the snap that he did, but he's back to being regular Bruce now. So what the fuck happened with him, and why is it, like, why was he so surprised that the Ten Rings exist and they don't know what they're made out of when he literally went to space and fought an alien man? Nothing should surprise you after that. You're green.
Yeah, you
and you break things. Ten Rings is nothing.
I don't know. They're going to have to figure it out. They're going to have to figure it out.
I know. I just love that they pulled Captain Marvel. Like, wherever she went has something to do with the Marvels that is filming right now, for sure. Or even, like, the Miss Marvel show, probably. But I love that they pulled those two characters in. Because, like, they could have done anything, you know, and pulled some of, like, the big hit names that everybody's just, like, foaming at the mouth to see right now. But they went with fucking Bruce Banner.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
I loved it. I loved it. My favorite part of the end credit scenes was Hotel California.
Oh, same! Oh, my God! Oh, so good. So good. I loved it.
I love that. I love that that's how they end their movie. They're just like, we could go home and get some rest, or... And then Wong just goes with them.
Or...
Yes! I love that Wong went with them, too. Welcome to the Hotel California. And they're singing, like, the, like, Katie's singing, and they do, like, the little backup vocals, like, what a lovely place, what a lovely place. It was so good. It was well done.
It was. I just love him. I love that, like, Disney called this movie an experiment to see how a movie like this would do just in general and pandemic wise in theaters, and he like popped off and was like, fuck you guys, it's not an experiment. And Kevin Feige just like straight up backed him and was like, you're right, it's not an experiment, this is gonna like reset the entire MCU. And I feel like it did.
Yeah, I think it hit its goal. Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like this is a really big bar to live up to. And, you know, as excited and just straight up, like, pumped I am for Spider-Man No Way Home, I do think that it was a ballsy and kind of dick move to release the trailer the week before this movie came out.
Not surprised.
Like, a week and a half before Shang-Chi premiered. Because that took... I was not surprised, but I do think that they intended to wait to release the trailer until the movie premiered because they wanted the focus to stay on this movie, but they also didn't heavily advertise for it. It was like, it was literally him that was doing the advertisements. Just all online. Just himself. So, I think that was shitty on Sony and on DC, or not DC, Disney and Marvel. And DC.
Fuck you, DC. Fuck them all. What'd I do? Nothing. But you're just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Fuck you, DC. You just let this shit happen. This is a big thing to live up to. I do think No Way Home will exceed its expectations, too. But I think that this movie, a lot of people are going to be comparing things to it for the next handful of movies that come out.
Especially dialogue-wise. Because dialogue was amazing.
Yes. Yes. Everything in this movie just flowed super well. On that note. What's your rating?
Meow.
What do we think? Right now on IMDb, it is an 8 out of 10. And it's at 92% fresh.
9 out of 10. Could use more shirtless scenes.
I'm gonna also give it a 9 out of 10 because I think this is the first time I have 100% agreed with the movie direction over the original comic book.
Yeah. I mean, I think like I'm gonna stick with my solid 10 out of 10 that I've been yelling about. Woo! On everything. 10 out of 10. That's like from hitter. Yeah, from your script standpoint, like your choreography, your soundtrack, like the direction, the creative direction they went with the story and stuff, like everything just hit its mark 100%. The soundtrack was really good.
Yeah, the soundtrack was fantastic.
And I want to talk to whoever was just sitting around going, Hotel California, we need to work this into the movie somehow.
Well, they got their dreams, and I'm glad they did.
I think I'm gonna go see this again.
Oh my God.
Maybe the rating will stay the same. I don't know. My Black Widow one kind of changed the more times I watched it. So, but I do think that this was the movie that we needed for this time period. Oh my God. I think my cat's dying.
I agree.
She also needs more shirtless Simu Liu.
Well, on that note.
Yeah, that's what she's saying.
Oh my God.
That's what she's saying.
On that note. Okay, bye everybody.
Oh my God.